And I am a Bible believer. I stand and I take a firm stand on the Bible. I don't change the Bible. I put myself under the authority of the Word of God. I do not determine what the authority is. I don't go in there and say, well, you know, this one says this, this says this, this says this, and I'm going to pick and choose and be the authority. I'm under the authority of the Word of God. I believe that God is sovereign in everything, including our English Bible. Let me give you a tidbit that's in my One Book, One Authority. We don't have any more of those back there. But there are 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are 66 books in our English Bible. Isaiah chapter 1 talks about the heaven and the earth, which matches Genesis. Isaiah 66 talks about the new heaven, new earth, which matches Revelation. And every book in there matches. Matter of fact, there's a guy from Canada that's just written a book that I endorsed on this subject. But if you look at the 40th chapter, the 40th book in your Bible, there's 39 Old Testament books. The 40th book is the book of Matthew. The 40th chapter of Isaiah says one crying in the wilderness. The 40th chapter matches the book of Matthew, which is the 40th book of the Bible. Now, that shows you that God set out for us to understand that He endorses the English. How do you know that? Well, if you go to the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible, they don't have 39 books in the Tanakh. They have 24 books in the Tanakh because they have the book of the 12. That's one book of the 12 minor prophets. So it's a picture, and it starts in Genesis and ends in 2 Chronicles, not Genesis through Malachi. It's a different order than our English Bible. What you have in Isaiah is a picture of our Bible in the Bible. Who did that? Man? No way. Because not until 1445 was the chapter and verse divisions in the Old Testament, and 1555 in the New Testament. So it's God. God designed this thing so that we could see that God endorsed the English language. That's why you don't mess with the English either. You can't sit there and say, well, you know, I just believe the Hebrew and the Greek, and that's it. You can't do that. God gave us a picture of our English Bible within the Bible for a reason. He wanted us to see that He endorsed what we hold in our hands. And English is the world language. I know people that are air traffic controllers, and if you fly internationally, every air traffic controller, every pilot must speak English to the air traffic controller in any country in the world. Why is that? Because God knew English would be the final day's language. So, charting the New Testament, I went through this yesterday, so I'll just sort of throw it up here for you to see. But basically, there's the blessed hope. It ends the church age. And then you have the day of Christ in heaven. You've got the 7 years following that on earth, which is Daniel's 70th week. Starts with a false covenant. In the middle, you have the abomination of desolation. The great tribulation is there. And then you have the sun and the moon darken, and the angels gather the elect. I went over Deuteronomy 4. I won't do that again. The Jews' last days are right there. And then you have the day of the Lord over here. Now, some people say, well, the day of the Lord is the whole 7 year period. I'm going to show you why that's a problem. And it is. I mean, if you put the day of the Lord at the very beginning and Elijah has to come before the day of the Lord, then we're going to see Elijah come before we leave. Or if you, the sun and the moon will be dark and the moon will be turned into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, then that's why everybody's looking for the blood moon. You say, well, I'm looking for the blood moon here in September. It's not a blood moon. It's a moon that looks orange. They're not blood moons. You know what he says? He's going to turn the moon to blood. It's going to be turned to blood in that day. So keep that in mind. I'm going to go through all the reviews which we're going to be reviewing yesterday. The day of the Lord, when Christ comes to rule on the earth. Number two, when the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:7 through 9. The day of the Lord comes the thief in the night. The day of the Lord is the battle of that great day of God Almighty, Armageddon. Jesus' second coming. He comes as a thief in the night. So when you see Jesus' second coming is likened to when the day of the Lord begins. It's the thief in the night. The thief in the night. Review number two. The day of the Lord shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Hearts will melt. That was Isaiah 3:13, and it matches Luke 21:25. Men's hearts failing them or melting when they see Jesus returning. By the way, these are all on your outline. It's just this is a review of the first 18. Great signs in heaven before the Lord's return, and then a sudden destruction comes upon the lost. Review number three. Day of the Lord comes with wrath and fierce anger to destroy the sinners who are as a woman in travail. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Jacob's trouble, the Jews are saved out of that day that makes a full end of all nations. Jacob's trouble, ye shall be my people and I will be your God. And fierce anger finishes Jacob's trouble. The stars and the sun and the moon are darkened in the day of God's fierce anger. The day of God. Review number four. The order of events following the tribulation of Mark 13 is the constellations, that's the sun, moon, and stars, do not give their light. Then they see Jesus coming. Then He sends His angels before Him. Before He returns, He sends His angels to gather the elect. Matthew 24. Before His return, Christ's angels gathers elect. Also Mark 13:27. When the day of the Lord is near, the Lord will be the hope of His people, the children of Israel. The context of the Gospels, Israel, mine elect. Isaiah 45:4. And again, that's already in your notes. Review number five before we get into new material. God sends Elijah, one of the two witnesses, before the day of the Lord. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. That's very important to understand, because if He sends Elijah before the day of the Lord, and Elijah's one of the two witnesses, either you've got a big gap after the rapture, which some say we do. I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell you whether. I don't have to have a gap when I teach the Bible in this part. In other words, the rapture can happen, and the next day, the seven-year period, that period can start right away. There's no gap that has to be in there. But when you start adding things like Elijah returning before, but he's one of the two witnesses. That's why he comes before the day of the Lord. Zephaniah tells the people to hold their peace since the day of the Lord is at hand. Silence in heaven at the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8:1. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath and trouble, distress, gloominess, clouds, thick darkness. A day of the alarm trumpet, Zephaniah 1:14, and we're going to start by looking at the alarm trumpets. Numbers chapter 10 pictures the two types of trumpets, the gathering trumpets and the alarm trumpets. That is what is so important. When you see this, this is going to be the key in Numbers chapter 10. The gathering versus the alarm trumpets. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, and I touched on this yesterday, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, thou shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. That's the gathering trumpet. When you look at the trumpets at the rapture, they are gathering trumpets. They are not alarm trumpets. The alarm trumpets will be the seven trumpets of Revelation. And we'll see that. The first trumpet is a gathering together. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. It's a gathering trumpet that we read about. This gathering takes place at the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen, glory, hallelujah. Amen. So it talks about the trump of God. Talks about a gathering there. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first. When? At the trump of God. Then when are those that are alive and remain brought up? At the last trump. You see, the trump of God can be a long trumpet sound. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's one way of doing it. And then the last sound is the last trump in that series of sounds. We are alive, remain until the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." When are we going to be changed? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So the dead in Christ rise first. When? At the trump of God. Then we which are alive remain will be caught up at the last trump within that series of trumpet sounds. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice it says, the trumpet will sound, we're raised in, the dead are raised incorruptible, and then it says, and we shall be changed. That's at the last trump. Look closely at the order. The trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ are raised first. Those remaining alive are changed at the last trump. The Jewish feast days confirm this. Leviticus chapter 23, the feast of Passover. Christ is placed upon the cross. Number two, the feast of unleavened bread. Christ's blood is offered. The feast of first fruits, Christ's resurrection. The Feast of Weeks, the church's empowerment. The Feast of Trumpets is supposed to come later. That's the church's rapture. It's a picture of the church's rapture there at the Feast of Trumpets. I don't believe it has to happen at the Feast of Trumpets. Because if you say that, then you say, well, then the next feast have to also concur. There's a series of, in the Feast of Trumpets, there's a series of short trumpet sounds concluding with one trumpet blast called the Tekiah Gedola, also known as the Great Trumpet Blast. The Jews knew this as the last trump of the Feast of Trumpets. And then you have the Atonement, Daniel's 70th week, followed by Tabernacles, which is Christ's kingdom. So the reason that you don't say, well, the Feast of Trumpets has to happen in September and the rapture's got to happen at that time, is because if you align everything up like that, well, then the Atonement, Daniel's 70th week, can't be a seven-year period. Otherwise, it's not the Atonement. The Atonement wasn't a seven-year period. So it's just pictures that we need to see. Don't try to date the rapture. You need to be looking for Jesus as though He can come back now, today. The problem with the church is we keep dating this thing. And when you date it, what you always date it as is a future date. So when you date it as a future date, you say, well, He doesn't have to come back until September, and He can't come back until September, then you're not encouraging people to look for the blessed hope. We need to be looking for the blessed hope as though we may not even leave this room until Jesus comes back. Amen? Amen. Gathering versus alarm trumpets. Again, we looked at Numbers 1 through 4. Here's verse 5. When you blow an alarm, now this is the second trumpet. Remember, there's two silver trumpets. There's the gathering trumpet, verses 1 through 4. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that are on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. It's an alarm trumpet. These alarm trumpets, verse 7, now watch this. But when the congregation is to be gathered, like a picture of the rapture that happens before the alarm trumpets, when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. So you see, you can have gathering trumpets at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is what it is. It's a picture. This is the picture. When Paul wrote, he didn't say, well, let me tell you about this last trump. And the Jew looked at him and said, oh, you're talking about John, what he wrote in Revelation that hadn't even been written yet. The Jew in the first century, when he wrote about the last trump and the trump shall sound, they went back to the Old Testament and they looked at Numbers chapter 10. They said, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a gathering trumpet. And there's this other thing called an alarm trumpet, but as we're going to see, those alarm trumpets aren't until the book of Revelation. And they're talked about in Joel chapter 2 and elsewhere. We'll see that as we go. The gathering with no alarm trumpets is the last trump. The day of the Lord's anger, Zephaniah. Zephaniah 2:1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth. Before the day pass the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before that day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Notice it's the day of the Lord Lord's anger. The day of the Lord is anger and fierce anger, alarm trumpets. Now let's remember Numbers 10, two trumpets, gathering and alarm. Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. That's the battle of Armageddon. Notice that the day of the Lord is at hand and as destruction. Joel 2:1, blow ye the trumpet of Zion, and sound what? An alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. So you see, those alarm trumpets are sounding, and the day of the Lord happens. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Leading up to the day of the Lord involves alarm trumpets. There's seven in total. Review number six. There's two types of trumpets, the gathering and the alarm trumpets, Numbers chapter 10. The gathering trumpet, the rapture of the church, is 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. The alarm trumpets, there's seven alarm trumpets that announce the day of the Lord. Numbers chapter 10, verse 7. The last trump matches the rapture of those yet alive, and the last trump matches the final blast of the Feast of Trumpets. The alarm trumpets precede the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That's what we just looked at. The Lord's army comes as a thief. Joel chapter 2, verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. This is pretty cool. They're not going to break their ranks. This is the armies of God coming back. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. An invincible army will be when we return. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the up upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. Like a thief. That's the day of the Lord. That's like when Jesus comes back. He says, I'll come as the thief. The thief shows up on the day of the Lord. You can look at 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 3:10. Matthew 24, verse 43, Luke 12, verse 39, Revelation 3:3, Revelation 3:16, Revelation 16, verses 15 and 16, the thief comes at Armageddon. Joel chapter 2, verse 11, and the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. For His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? You see, the day of the Lord is likened to the Lord's army, and that's Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and 14. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. By the way, how do the armies get in heaven? That happens at the rapture 7 years earlier. The armies which were in heaven, not floating around in the clouds, they're in heaven and they return with him. The heavens open in verse 11 and Jesus leaves, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Then with it he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't know who that guy was that was being shown up on the screen here, but he wasn't the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming back. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward. Read the context of Joel 2. We looked at it already. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants, upon the handmaidens. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. Listen, I don't trust dreams. People say, well, I had a dream. I don't care about your dream. Are you going to tell me it's scripturally right? I want to know what thus saith the Lord. He said, well, I had a dream. Well, don't tell me about your dream if you think somehow it's a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Because Joel chapter 2 is a fulfillment after the 7 years. Afterward, he's going to have them dream dreams. The young men shall see visions. Don't tell me about your visions today. I want to know what saith the Scripture. Acts 2:17, it came to pass in the last days. These are Israel's last days. And he's quoting Joel chapter 2. Saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Listen, I'm getting to be an old man, but if I can't start telling you about my dream, you better look at it and say, brother, you must have just had some bad pizza last night. Because that's all it is. Do not trust in people's dreams and their visions. You have the Word of God, and that's all you need. Amen?
Amen.
Just checking. Joel chapter 2, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. Notice the context. Here we are in Joel chapter 2. I've just been reading sequentially. In Joel chapter 2, once we get to this point, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before when? Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Why are people looking for the blood moons today or last year? Excuse me. They looked at them for 2 years. What, in 2015, 2016? Why? Because people were making a bunch of money on books. The blood moons aren't going to happen until the day of the Lord. And then it says the day of the Lord isn't going to come until after the moon is turned to blood. You say, what about September? September's going to come and September's going to pass. There may be a nuclear war, but it might be in May. Has nothing to do with this. The day of the Lord is a 1,000-year period that starts at the end of the 7 years at the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 6:12. Here's the timing. Now, let me ask you, if the blood moons were last year, Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Let me ask you, where are we located in the timeline? You know why people are struggling with the pre-tribulation position? It's because a bunch of pre-trib preachers are preaching that these are blood moons, and that puts us into the sixth seal. You see the confusion? You can't be in the sixth seal unless you're in the middle of the tribulation. So you can't have blood moons unless you're in the middle of the tribulation. So quit looking for signs like that that aren't for us. The Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews seek after a sign. Why are you living like a Jew? I want wisdom. I don't want signs. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Thank you. The true blood moon is not until the sixth seal. Verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. This is after the blood moon. Even as the fig tree casteth the timely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll upon when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. You know what I call this group right here? They're the future cavemen. The future cavemen. There they are. They're going to hide in the rocks of the mountains. They're the future cavemen. We're not looking at evolution. We're looking at devolution. Devolution is we're devolving. We're not evolving. Look at the spiritual nature of things. Verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Review number 7. The Lord's army comes the thief. The Lord makes war on the day of the Lord. The armies leave heaven to return to earth. The Lord pours out His Spirit in Israel's last days. And the sun and the sun's dark and the moon turned into blood before the day of the Lord. The timing matches the opening of the sixth seal in Revelation 6:12-17. How do you get deliverance during that time? I'm hoping I'm not speaking to anybody that needs deliverance during that time. But if you're not saved, you won't be leaving with us. The rapture will happen. All those that have trusted Jesus Christ will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. But you have to be saved to make it. Deliverance by trusting in the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. We already looked at 30 and 31. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Notice, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. This is quoted in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, well, don't forget the remnant. I was writing that up there. Don't forget the remnant. We're going to come back to that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. This is Acts 2 quoting Joel. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, Joel said delivered. What they're going to be looking for is physical deliverance. And that's being saved in the future. He that shall endure to the end, Matthew 24, shall be saved. That's a physical deliverance. It means they didn't take the mark, and they didn't get caught and killed. Those are the ones that are saved. They go into the millennium. It matches Matthew 24, Acts chapter 2, Joel chapter 2. Joel said delivered. Matthew 24, 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. This is not talking about spiritual salvation. It's talking about physical deliverance. You compare Joel 2 with Acts 2, and you realize Matthew 24 is talking about physical deliverance. How do you know that? Well, the context is found in verse 22. Look at what it says in Matthew 24, 22. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be what? Saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It's talking about the flesh being saved. Matthew 24, Luke 2, Acts 2 here. It's talking about the flesh being saved and they're being delivered. And He's going to send down His angels to gather the elect. That's physical deliverance. Now, they've trusted in the Lord, you have to understand. They've trusted. That's why they're going to get physical deliverance, because everybody that takes the mark is going to be showered with the wrath of God if their names are not found written in the book of life, the Bible says. So the flesh is saved or delivered. That's very, very important to understand that. Revelation 12, 17, the dragon was wroth with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The remnant, remember I told you to remember the remnant. The remnant, one-third call upon the name of the Lord during that time. One-third. Zechariah 13, 8, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third part shall be left therein. I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on the name they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. See, that's the future of the nation of Israel. Review number 8. Deliverance for the remnant by calling on the name of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. The prophecy of Israel's last days, the blood moons, etc. That's Acts chapter 2. And also Joel 2. Acts 2, Joel 2, Matthew 24. The save refers to a physical deliverance during Daniel's 70th week, commonly called the tribulation period. I don't refer to it as the tribulation period. I'll use that just because it's common usage. I call it Daniel's 70th week. Why? Because one of the comments that you get by those that aren't pre-trib is, wait a minute, are you saying we're not gonna, nobody's ever going to suffer tribulation? No, we're suffering tribulation today. You will always, you know, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. You're going to suffer persecution. Tribulation worketh patience. That's what Paul said. He's not talking about the tribulation period. So that's why I generally refer to the 7 years, not just as the tribulation period, because there's tribulation all through time. There are people that are losing their lives today going through some tribulation. But the period that they call the tribulation period, I just call Daniel's 70th week, because that's what it really is. The remnant of Israel, the one-third, shall call upon the name of the Lord. You'll see that in Revelation 12, 17, Zechariah 13, 8, and 9. I didn't mean to jump so quick. Revelation 13, 8 and 9. The day of the Lord's battle. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. So the day of the Lord cometh. So now it's here at this time in Zechariah 14. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when He fought in the day of battle. So now He says, the day of the Lord cometh. What happens? He goes forth and fights against those nations. You remember the battle of Armageddon is when you have the 200 million man army and they come against the Antichrist and they surround Jerusalem. But God's going to end that thing. When Jesus Christ comes back, He's just going to snuff them out. You know, His armies aren't even going to have to fight. You say, well, what will happen if I get hurt in His army? Well, I've already showed you, you can't even be injured in His army. But you won't even have to fight. He's going to do all the battle. He's going to have a sword coming out which is called the Word of God. Don't worry about the future. Unless you're not saved, then the only thing you've got is worry, because you don't have Jesus. Revelation 19:11 is what you need to see right there. Remember, Revelation 19:11, heaven's open and Christ comes back. Verse 4, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. It's prophesied in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The two angels are standing there and they're talking. They said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So He says, Jesus coming back to that mount right there. And Zechariah chapter 14 says His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives and it'll cleave in two. Verse 5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, and ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day. What day? The day of the Lord. That the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. How's that going to happen? Matthew 24, remember what He says when He returns? Matthew 24, the heaven, He's going to light up the heavens. The night will be turned into day, Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's going to be dark all over the earth, and all of a sudden it's just going to be bright. Because that's the day of the Lord when He comes back. Christ lights the sky, Zechariah 14:8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. You see, in the day of the Lord, He'll be King over all the earth. It's when He sets back His foot back in time, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? This is the day of the Lord. And it's the answered prayer in Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He said, how should we pray? He said, pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Review number 9. The day of the Lord. The Lord goes forth in battle with His saints, and He returns as prophesied to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14, 1 through 6, Acts 1, verses 11 and 12. The evening shall be light. Zechariah 14, 7, Matthew 24, 7. In that day, the day of the Lord is King over all the earth with His will done upon the earth. Zechariah 14, 8, Matthew 6, 10. The next part, I've already gone over, but I want to reiterate it because I think it's so important, is to look at the thief. I mentioned yesterday there was a movie that was put out many years ago called The Thief in the Night. Again, it may have had some good content, but the title's wrong. The Thief in the Night has nothing to do with the rapture. The Thief in the Night has to do with the day of the Lord. The Thief in the Night has to do with the second coming. The Thief in the Night has to do with Christ setting His foot back on Armageddon, or back on earth right after Armageddon. Likened to a thief. Matthew 24:43. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. For such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. By the way, this has nothing to do with the rapture. Too many people go to Matthew 24 and they just discombobulate the whole thing. Leave Matthew 24 where Matthew 24 belongs. Matthew 24 is not talking about the rapture at all. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. All of that has to do with the second coming. None of it deals with, and I may look at that, the one time I didn't bring my Bible up here. Can somebody go back there and get my Bible from my wife? Be also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they shall see his shame. That's Revelation 16:15. Thank you. So you see Matthew 24, Revelation 16:15. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. So look at it again. Let's make sure you're getting this. Matthew 24 talks about the thief and the Son of Man coming. Revelation 16 says, I come as a thief, and then the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. They're all related together. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day, what day? The day of the Lord should overtake you as a what? As a thief. Hear all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Notice what it says in verse 7. Changes the context with the pronouns. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But, contrast word, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The brethren are of the day, not of the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Unconditional blessing. Review number 10 on the thief. The Son of Man comes as a thief. The people are warned to watch. I come as a thief. Blessed are they who watch. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord comes the thief in the night. That's 2 Peter chapter 3 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. And again, that's the end of this part. I want to give you one more thing on Matthew 24. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. If you have any questions, my website is BibleDoug.com. My email is Doug@BibleDoug.com. But I want to look at Matthew 24. And I want to go through it and show you some things that are not in the presentation at this time. Go to Matthew 24, verse 27. I mention this, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's going to light up the sky. That's why it's dark and then it's light. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So what is this generation? People have said, well, it's the generation of 1948. Some say it's the generation of the first generation. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at this scripture. Let's look at the context. Look at chapter Matthew 24. Look at let's just look at verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. So what generation is he talking about there? He's talking about the generation of vipers. He's talking about a generation that follows the devil. One day in the day of the Lord, when he comes back, that generation is going to be wiped out. There will be no more wicked people on earth. The generation of vipers is gone. He says in verse 36, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. What generation? The generation of vipers, not the generation of 1948 or 1988 or the first century. So now go back to where we were. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. Notice that's a negative thing. Pass is to die or be wiped out. He's saying, look, this generation of vipers isn't going to be wiped out or passed till all these things be fulfilled. Here is the heaven and earth. Look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That means they're not going to end. But he says, heaven and earth will pass away. This generation shall pass. Pass what? Pass away, be gone. It's a negative thing. It doesn't have anything to do with a generation that was born or alive when Israel became a nation. It's been mistaught for years and years and years and years. And by the way, I've only seen it for 2 months. So life is good. I enjoy seeing truths. Well, I've struggled with this for years. I couldn't figure it out. But I just prayed and said, Lord, I need the answer. And somebody came to me in church and said, hey, have you ever considered this? No. And I started considering it, and he was right. So it didn't even originate with me. It originated with one of my church members. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That has nothing to do with the rapture. The context is the second coming. Do you see it? That's what we're talking about here. So people take that out and they apply it to the church and the rapture, and that's why people get confused. Stop using Matthew 24 for the rapture. You say, what about Noah and Lot and the people that are left behind? Let's look at it. Verse 37 is the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Who was taken away in Noah's day? The lost. It says, and knew not until it came and took them away. Who knew not? Noah? No, Noah knew. The ones taken away were the lost. So when you look at Lot as this picture here, I mean, Noah's a picture. Noah's not a picture of the rapture. Noah's a picture of the tribulation saint being supernaturally protected. Where is Noah at the end of the flood? He's still on earth. Just like the Jewish saint that's protected when he sends his angels to gather the elect. Noah has no picture of us. Lot has no picture. It says God rained fire down and killed them all on the day that Lot escaped. That's not us. And that's Luke 17. Look at what it says in verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Well, who's taken? The lost. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. That's not the rapture. So when people apply that to the rapture, people get looking at Luke in Matthew 24 and start thinking, well, that's talking about the rapture there. Don't apply any of Matthew 24 to the rapture. It's all the second coming in context. Verse 43, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the what? Thief. What's the thief got to do with? Not the church. Not the rapture. You see, you get an idea in your mind because of what you see. And you think, this is the way it's got to be, and it's not that way. When you get to think of a movie, The Thief in the Night, and you say, well, that must, you know, The Thief in the Night was the rapture. Then you start thinking the thief has to do with the rapture. Then you don't realize the thief has to do with the day of the Lord when the Lord comes back. And right here in the context, it's the second coming. Then you've got your context over and over again. The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible is consistent. The problem is we have been taught and taught wrong many times, and then we can't figure out why things don't work out. It all works out. Watch. The thief would come, would have watched, not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. You think not the Son of Man cometh? That's the second coming. Has nothing to do with the rapture. Because everything in the context here. Look at Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at Lot now. Because Noah is spoken of in Matthew, but it's not spoken of in Luke 17. Luke 17. Well, it is. I'm sorry, it is. Look at, let's for context, verse 24. For as the lightning that shineth out of the one part under heaven shineth also the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, be rejected of this generation. As in the days of Noah, verse 26, so shall also the days of Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When's the Son of Man going to be revealed? At the rapture? Second coming. Lot is not a picture of us. Who's a picture of us? I told you yesterday, it is Enoch. Enoch pleased God and he was taken and never died. If you're saved at the rapture and you're alive, you will never die. Lot is a picture of us. Enoch is a picture of us. Lot and Noah are a picture of the second coming. Verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 31, in that day which shall be in which shall be upon the housetop and stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Those that are taken in death, this is not the rapture. You see, when people have applied that to rapture, they've messed everybody up. When you take Luke 17, Matthew 24, and the other passages like that, and you apply them to the rapture in the church, you confuse people. And yes, people have been confused for a long time. I am here to tell you there's not one verse in the Bible that teaches anything but a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Good deal. I got one good deal. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
That's the way it is. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't know that for a long time. Till I was asked to write a chapter in a book, and I wrote that chapter in the book on Paul's epistles teaching the pre-tribulation rapture. But I still had a lot of things I was struggling with. And somebody read that book, and they invited me to a prophecy conference. And I went there, and I was the little guy. The little room with maybe 150 people, and the big room had 1,500, so just to give you the contrast. And then the guy that was doing the video was on the staff, and he says, "Man, you got to take this video." So they took my video and they put it on the live stream in the little room, and they replaced some guy that just crashed and burned in what he was teaching. And then the next time I'm in the big room. And I'm not telling you that to say, hey, I'm somebody. What I'm telling you is I started out not knowing hardly anything on prophecy. And now I eat, drink, and sleep prophecy because it's so important. If you get it right, Titus says about it, he says you'll be a godly person, peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what we need to be. We need to be different, peculiar. Not weird, just peculiar. And listen, enjoy life. Enjoy life. Like I said, it's 7 o'clock, I think, is my next time, and I will deal with the book of Revelation in an hour. Actually, I think it's Revelation and Daniel in an hour. Come on, brother.
I didn't want to get into
Martin Luther King. He says, "I have a dream," and he's sitting there. You're looking at it. You're going, "Look, do you know where that comes from? The Bible?" Yeah, no, I love that. I would.
They don't speak.
I was afraid.
There's no light in them.
Right.
That's right. Behind.
And there's a lot of them doing that.
That's why you don't pay attention to it.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you. All right. Here's your.
I did not understand what you said. I thought the rapture and the second coming is the same. I was been taught that way. When is the rapture?
The rapture is at any moment.
And the second coming?
7 years after that.
Oh. So the rapture is when people are
caught up into the clouds and then taken to heaven.
Well, what's the second coming?
That's whenever Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and sets up his kingdom on this earth.
Oh.
And people go into the millennium, the thousand-year reign.
7 years. And during the 7 years?
He comes back at the end of the 7 years.
Yeah, and
the 7 years is the tribulation of Daniel's 70th week.
That's true, yeah. Tribulation is 7 years. Yeah, I knew that. Oh, yeah, I understand that part now, yeah.
That's what you're saying about the two shall be in the field, two shall be.
Yes.
I always kind of thought maybe that meant rapture, but I guess it's quite plain that it is, right? And Joel explains that?
Joel, yes.
Joel,
yes. Yeah. I guess in German it's Joel. Are you German?
Yeah, I'm German.
Ah, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, bissel. Yeah. Not so good.
Not so good. Okay.
No. Yeah. Nicht so good.
Yeah.
My mom's German, 100%.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that like high German?
Erding, Munich.
Okay, Munich, yeah, that's Germany.
That's not high German. Is that high German?
Yeah, Munich, that's if
I don't know the difference.
Well, like, we're
a little German and high German.
Yeah.
Ah.
I love my dad was high, my mom was low, and I'm English.
Hey, what are you doing, knocking my German friends around?
The German, get out, what are you doing here? He's Canadian, come on.
No, he's got a German accent, and my mom's 100% German.
Really?
So we're doing some Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah. And this brother is what? This brother is half Ukrainian and half apart.
Half human, half Ukrainian.
Half human. Hey, at least you got half.
You're as far as a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.